Firebird. All of us squeezed into compartment number 4, a candle flickering on the reading table. Sitara is on my father's lap. Little Arslan and I are on the floor. Ara, Javed, and Mudda are on the bed opposite, and Omar is standing in the doorway. The train has stopped to take on more supplies and change over the restaurant car, but none of us move. We are so wrapped up in the music and listening to our mother tell the story of Prince Ivan and the beautiful Firebird. "Prince Ivan," Azita says, her voice low and melodious, "enters the magical kingdom of Koshe the Immortal, and in the garden he sees this beautiful Firebird, which he catches. It begs to be set free and promises to help the prince."
"Then what?" Sitara asks, looking over at Mudda.
Sitara, who is the baby of the family, is still at the age where she listens to stories each night. We all pretend this story is for her, when really we are all drawn into the warmth and the candlelight and the gentle rocking of my mother's voice.
"The prince discovers 13 princesses, beautiful princesses," Mudda says, "and he falls deeply in love with one of them, so he decides to ask Koshe for her hand in marriage." My mother smiles at my father as she tells this part, but Baba is far away, looking out of the window. "Koshe says no, and sends his magical creatures to attack the prince. But the Firebird flies in and bewitches them, and puts a spell on Koshe." Javed, using the light of the candle, begins to make shadows of the bird behind Baba's head. Sitara shrinks in closer to Baba, frightened by the music and the shadow play. Then the Firebird shares the secret of Koshe's immortality with the prince.
"What is immortality, Mother Jan?" Sitara asks.
"The ability to live forever," says Baba. "The dream of fools," snorts Omar in derision. The Firebird tells Prince Ivan that the wicked magician's soul is contained in a gigantic magic egg, continues Mudda with a straight face. "So the prince destroys the egg, the spell is broken, and Koshe's palace disappears along with Koshe. The princesses and Ivan remain. They are now awake at last." The music spirals on and on towards its triumphant end, and we listen to the audience clapping with wild applause. I picture the concert hall full of men and women dressed in finery, the dancers on the stage, the orchestra in the pit. All scenes I have learnt from my beloved Tolstoy.
"Baba Jan, will we ever see such a thing?" Sitara asks.
One day we will all see such a thing," he answers, wrapping her up in a warm bear hug. My sister Ara has a beautiful singing voice, and sometimes as dusk falls, when we all gather in the restaurant cart for supper, she will sing. Mainly old Afghan songs or the songs of Farida Mehwish. Like us, another exile, another nomad. Ara will sing music that melds together Arabic, Persian, Indian influences, like the melting pot that is our country. Mudda will cry. Sometimes even Baba's eyes will be wet with both joy and sadness. For in years before we fled our home in Kabul, music was banned. Can you imagine? To not be able to listen to music, to sing, to play an instrument, to even hum a tune. What harm? What harm can it do to sing? So when Ara, trembling, stands in the corner of the restaurant car and forgets her own beauty to share these songs, we all feel alive and free. All the passengers in the car applaud. These are some of my favourite moments when we are all together, when life is beautiful. Anyway, we are stuck halfway along the Circumbaikal Bridge, looking out at larch, pines and birch trees on the cliffside, and to the other side, the vast expanse of the lake. As the train has stopped and we have the windows open, I sit listening to the calls back and forth of the bush warblers that flutter around the lakeside. We know all the birds and most of the animals along the journey now. Javed and I can sit for hours matching sounds and feather colours and markings to images and descriptions in the encyclopedia. Or we ask Napoleon.